In a universe that almost is, just out of reach beyond the edge of reality, mysterious forces underlie the fabric of existence. Energemetra 6, the very energy of creation, serves as both the elixir of life and the arsenal of destruction for its human and not-so-human denizens.
Crushing darkness, whose source they cannot fathom, grips the cosmos and its people. In anguish, they dream of the long-foretold bright star.
Join us as we embark on an epic journey, exploring the universe of Energemetra 6.
And we're live, and this is the Energemetra 6 podcast. We're on episode 7. And today we have, as usual, Mel. I have my third to do Ty. I have my wife to do Sheskin, and Chad's here to do Lord for us. And thank you, everybody. I appreciate everybody being here. And I even remembered, Mel, this time I got your upload paused in time. So that's awesome. Good, too.
That'll all help. Right.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay. Actually, I'm going to do the same thing for Chad this time just to make sure that things go well. There we go. Okay. And with that, I'm going to hit our usual V4V ad. The Energemetra 6 podcast operates on a value-for-value model. That means that we hope if we provide some value to you in your life, that you'll return that to us in whatever way you can manage. If you're interested, head over to e6universe.com and sign up for our email list to get our free ebooks and hopefully buy a physical book or some merch while you're there. Or if all you can manage right now is to leave us a good review somewhere, 5 stars or some kind of positive rating, that's more than appreciated. Thank you. Right. Well, with that, I guess it's time to dive into Bright Star Chapter 6 here. Go ahead and take it away for us, Chad.
Do not play the game with an opponent who has the power to change the rules. Maxim of the Order.
Over the course of the afternoon, Ty led him to 3 more sessions. The first of which was an hour of focusing exercise, intended to help students with their grasp of Energemetra 6. The session was presided over by Professor Lord, a garrulous, friendly-seeming man who greeted Nate immediately as he entered the room.
Ah, a new student. Welcome. Are you new to Okralokum? What's your name?
Nate nodded, returning the smile. It's Nate, Professor.
Good, good. Now everyone find your seats. We will begin in just a moment.
Most of the class had already seated themselves, and Nate hurried to join them. Lord waited a few seconds longer, then, looking over the class, he nodded.
Good. So glad everyone made it. Now then, initiates, please open your senses and remain in a focused state. Yes, you know the drill. Don't actually grasp the fields. Just hold your attention as focused as you can. Nate, have you done this before?
No, Professor. Nate shook his head, looking around as the others settled and became still.
Well, begin by looking to the fields. You know how to open your senses to the fields, yes?
Nate nodded, and the professor made a coaxing motion.
Good. Go ahead, then.
Nate focused his mind and instinctively did as the professor had asked, reaching toward Energemetra 6.
Now, Nate, don't actually grasp the fields. Instead, keep yourself focused and simply look around.
Nate stopped himself with an effort. It was difficult. The same instincts that had allowed him to open his awareness demanded that he seize the power and make use of it. They were unbelievably strong.
Good, yes, just like that. Now hold yourself in that state. Are you sure you've never done this before? Why, it took Ellisynth 2 whole weeks to get a glimpse of the fields for her first time, and even Reginald and Roderick took at least 3 sessions each before they could maintain a focused state. You're already at the top of the class, and you haven't even been here a day.
Nate almost lost his focus again at Lord's words. What was the teacher trying to do?
Yes, yes, maintain that focus. Don't let it slip now. Remember, if you can't keep that focus here, you shouldn't expect to do it when there are enemies trying to kill you, right?
Nate managed to stay focused, despite what Lord was saying. And as his awareness of the fields grew stronger, it was as if the world opened up, and he was a blind man seeing for the first time ever. The colors of the objects surrounding him weren't just sharper. They had dimension, almost a flavor of their own. Every object was surrounded by multicolored fields, and Nate could see it all with a clarity that defied description. Lord's voice once more intruded.
Remarkable, Nate. Now try to focus on just one thing. See if you can't tell me, is there a draft in this room, and where is it coming from?
There were snickers from around Nate, and he realized the professor was trying to make him fail. After Nate's initial success, they were obviously looking forward to it, too. To the void with that. Mentally preparing himself as best he could, Nate shifted his attention specifically to the air around him. He could actually see the air currents. Even the smallest movements of molecules were within his grasp as he concentrated. The level of focus that everything around him snapped into seemed impossible. Even more confounding was what it showed him. By the nature of Energemetra 6 flowing around and through everything, Nate could sense the makeup and purpose of everything in the room, all at once. Nate's focus warped, and he almost lost his bearings completely, as Energemetra 6, the essence and building blocks of all the matter around him, overwhelmed his ability to process. For an instant, he thought he could sense the vector and energy of every air molecule in the entire space at the same time. But it was far too much. Nate relaxed fractionally. Earlier, he'd had to fight his instincts to keep from pushing him into grasping the power and putting it to use. Now they came to his rescue, helping him to limit his focus enough that he could see just the air's movement instead of everything else about it. After getting his bearings, Nate began to scan the room, looking for air movement that might resemble a draft. When he knew what to look for, it was clear enough. The air moved constantly from the vents on one side of the room, straight across the ceiling and into another set of vents. The effect on the air currents in the room was peculiar, creating a zone of dead air that was far cooler than the rapidly moving air above. Before Nate could speak, Professor Lord laughed gleefully.
He showed you all up. Even you, Tyler. Why, I've never seen a student catch on so fast.
Bodies shifted all around Nate, and he could only imagine the looks he must be getting from the other students. He made no reply, gritting his teeth and continuing to maintain his focus. Something caught Lord's attention on the other end of the room then, and he moved away, scolding.
No, Kid Seth. You know that's not the way.
Thankfully, Lord didn't return. The minutes ticked by, and Nate continued to maintain his focus, keeping his mind clear and his attention roving across the room. Slowly, Nate's sense of time shifted, stretching back to his trip through the void encased in crystal. His next awareness was of Ty pulling on his hand, urging him to his feet, and pulling him out of his reverie. Nate stumbled after Ty on the way to their next class, feeling disoriented. By the time they reached the session, he had mostly recovered. Before entering the room, Ty stopped and made a face at him.
Most of the professors aren't as bad as Lord.
Ty grimaced.
He does that to everybody.
He paused and eyed the door they were about to pass through.
This one is remedial weaving. Professor Sheeskin.
Nate raised an eyebrow. Remedial weaving? Ty shrugged uncomfortably.
Pretty sure they just ran out of initiate-level classes for me.
He squirmed a bit.
Or maybe I made Master Retikin mad.
Nate chuckled at Ty's irritation, then jerked his head at the closed door. But weaving? What are we making? Baskets? Ty snorted.
Hardly.
Spells, then? Ty gave him a strange look.
You shouldn't talk about that stuff here. Some of the masters might know, but this is just regular old power. It's E6.
When they entered the room and settled themselves among the others, again seated on thin mats on the floor, Professor Sheskin, a puffy-looking, distracted lady, began without even looking up.
Good day, everyone. Today we will cover the theory of field handling in a no doubt fruitless effort to correct the lapses we discovered in the test you all took last week.
She finally looked up, her eyes tracking across the room, cataloging students until she reached Nate. She blinked, obviously not recognizing him, but if it bothered her, she didn't show it. She didn't even stop speaking.
As initiates, you should all know by now that there are three factors determining your ability to access the fields. First is the raw power you can channel. Anytime you use Energimetris 6, your body must act as a conduit for the power you use. And your cell's ability to handle that power transfer is directly responsible for how much power you can control. This is also why, if you overreach and try to use too much, the entropic shock can kill you so easily. It destroys the mechanism in your cells that creates your conduit, recursively reducing your ability to channel. This may return over time, or it may not. Second, your control is limited by your willpower. You must be able to grasp the power you wish to choose and visualize what you will it to do. Much like a muscle, your control can be developed as your ability grows.
Sheskin looked back down at her notes, and Ty gave Nate a wry look, as if to apologize for dragging him into such a dull session. Nate returned an amused smile as Sheskin continued.
Focus is the third, and by far the most important factor that limits you.
Her eyes raked the classroom, almost seeming accusatory.
If you exert your will to control more power than you are able, you will simply fail. The same is true of your ability to channel, up to the limit where you begin to cause yourself entropic shock. Your focus is totally different. As you weave the fields, you will tire yourselves mentally, and when you begin to do so, you risk making mistakes. Tire yourself sufficiently, and you may lose control of your power entirely. Even simply keeping your senses open to the fields requires focus, and doing so will tire you.
She rapped out her next sentences as if to imprint them upon their memory by sheer force.
If you lose control, you will almost certainly burn yourself out or die. The Remakamakula will not save you if your will is bent upon your task. Focus, too, requires practice. If anything will kill you as a student in the Akrolukum, it is a lack of focus. Now, initiates, you may grasp the fields and begin to practice basic weaving. Please restrain yourselves and follow my instructions precisely.
Around Nate, he could feel the other students reaching out to grasp Energimetris 6. He couldn't tell exactly what they were doing, as Lord had with him, but he thought with some practice he might be able to. He followed their example and opened his senses to the fields, reaching to grasp a thread of gray power that pulsed through the air before him. Sheskin was already moving on.
Basic use of the fields requires you to grasp individual strands of power, visible in the mass of Energimetris 6 and the fields around you, and use these threads to weave the pattern that will create whatever effect you seek.
She droned on, and Nate did his best to focus on what she was saying, following her instructions carefully, though he learned very little over the course of the session. He found that what she taught was already available to him instinctively, whether from memory he had yet to recover consciously, or from intuition. The way Energimetris 6 functioned was through patterns he found himself naturally comfortable with, each point she made seeming to him an inextricable part of everything else he knew. He couldn't have taught it to a class as she did, but he knew it as surely as he knew how to move his arm or walk. By the time the session ended, Nate was beginning to feel a bit optimistic, in contrast with his earlier dread. Maybe his stay at the Telestry would at least provide time for some practice with Energimetris 6, in class if nothing else. Their last session of the day was led by the youngest professor Nate had yet seen. She wore a severe expression when they walked into the room, but smile lines hugged the corners of her mouth. The little bit of a Remakamakula that Nate could see was an even lighter gray than Ty's. She waited until everyone was seated, but began the class by smiling directly at Nate and asking,
"Are you lost?"
Nate shook his head. "No, ma'am. The proctor assigned me to these sessions this morning. She nodded thoughtfully and said,
I'm Master Richland. What's your name?
Nate, Professor. Richland frowned as if his use of the title had offended her dignity, and Nate noticed that the emblem her own robe was embroidered with was in gold, unlike any of the other teachers he'd seen thus far.
What aptitude did you test to, Nate?
I didn't take any aptitude test, Professor. She gave him a doubtful look.
Not even for specialization, Nate?
Without waiting for his response, Master Richland nodded.
Class, find partners and begin practicing telestasis. Nate, why don't you come up here with me?
Nate approached the front of the class and sat down on the low stool in front of Master Richland as the others all shifted around to find a partner. He noticed the class had an uneven number of students, and not one of the others had even looked at Ty. When Nate was seated, Master Richland smiled at him and asked,
Have you ever done a telestasis exercise?
I'm not sure, Professor, he replied. My memory isn't... He trailed off, searching for the right word to finish his sentence. Richland nodded kindly and said,
No matter, Nate. Put your right hand up against mine and touch my fingertips like this.
He did so, and she nodded again.
Now concentrate. Grasp Energimetris 6 and bring a tiny amount of power from the field into your fingers and push it out into mine.
Nate reached out and opened his senses to the fields. The room around him immediately leapt into clarity, as his awareness of the fields came alive just as before. This time, instead of blocking his instinct to grasp Energemetris 6, he reached out. With the same instinctive surety as before, he drew a trickle of power from the world around him, willing it to flow into Richland's fingertips. The power felt solid and stable to his senses, and his mind's grip was sure, as if he'd done this a million times before, though he could never remember having done so. Nate marveled at how right and natural the sensation was, meanwhile gripping the stool between his legs with his other hand, focusing to keep the flow even and tiny. After a bare moment, he felt the same trickle of power flowing into his own hand from hers. He grasped it in turn and circulated it back to her.
Good!
Richland smiled at him.
Now increase that flow very slowly. Remember, focus. Don't allow your grip to slip.
Nate nodded and slowly, smoothly increased the flow of power through his fingertips, feeling a reciprocal increase from her end. Controlling Energemetris 6 with his mind carried the same mental sensation as holding on to a slick metal pipe. The energy tried to slip through his grasp, and he could feel strange, sympathetic prickling sensations in his legs and feet as he bent it to his will and forced the energy to follow the reciprocal path from himself to Master Richland. Over the next few minutes, Nate continued to increase the flow carefully, focusing on what he was doing. It wasn't until her gasp broke his single-minded concentration and he looked up, still maintaining his flow, that he realized she was sweating, her eyes wide.
That will do, Nate.
Nate stopped pushing power into her hand, and she gasped again, sagging on her own stool. Half the class had stopped their telestasis exercise to stare up at them. After a moment, Richland had recovered herself enough to smile and said,
That was quite extraordinary, Nate.
Then she frowned.
Are you well?
Nate nodded, a bit surprised. Yes, Professor. Richland shook her head.
That should have taken even more of a toll on you than it did on me. Can you stand up, Nate?
Nate stood, and Richland reached forward to touch his head with both hands. He felt a trickle of power flow into him, of a different type this time. And after a moment, Richland's frown deepened, and she stepped back to look him in the face, her expression confused.
I sense no entropic shock. None at all.
She put her hand on the side of Nate's neck, where his recumocula was still itching just below the level of his notice.
Not even warm?
As if in response, a girl in the front row gasped and pointed.
Master Richland, his stool!
A moment later, everyone else gasped. Nate had to turn almost completely around to see his stool, which now had a rough handprint in the front of it, seemingly pressed into the wood, with fine dust falling from it and ice crystals all over it. Richland reached past Nate to grab the stool and held it out in front of her face, as if to see better. A moment later, she touched the handprint with her other hand, and a green glow emanated from it for a moment. Richland sat back down on her own stool, still holding his, and simply stared at Nate for a long time. He was beginning to feel truly uncomfortable with everyone's eyes on him when at last she slowly spoke.
I am disturbed, young man. I do not know how, but you have violated the eighth tenet.
She rotated the stool in her hands and seemed almost to talk to herself.
This is of great import. The balance of the universe hangs upon the principles that underlie the tenets of the field. Energimetra 6 is the balancer of forces in the universe. It contains in itself both light and darkness, good and evil. Every use of the fields must balance, and the balance gives quarter neither to good nor to evil.
Suddenly, Master Richland looked around the room.
Class, what is the eighth tenet of the fields?
The group chorused as one.
Balance is all. Power spent is entropy received.
She pointed a finger at Nate and said,
Energimetra 6 may not be used without the Energimetra suffering entropic feedback. You must never do that again, Nate.
Nate looked at her thoughtfully for a moment, then shook his head. I don't know how to use the fields without doing that. Nate thought for a moment, but he shook his head again, baffled. Professor, I don't think I can use Energimetra 6 without... Richland's shriek was so sudden the entire class jumped.
Heretic!
She reached back as if to slap him, but hesitated at the last moment. Nate's eyes widened in surprise at her outburst, but he said nothing in response. Instead of striking him, she pointed again violently.
Forbidden. You are forbidden to use the fields at all. You must not. This will be taken to the governors.
She turned and stormed out of the room, leaving the class staring at each other in befuddlement, all of them except Ty refusing to look at Nate. They did not see Richland again that evening. After waiting for a few moments, the class dispersed. Ty led Nate to a dining hall for supper, where they sat at the back of the room by themselves. Whether because of his association with Ty, who was obviously not a popular student, or because of what had happened in class, it quickly became apparent that the die was cast. Everyone else avoided them, except for the obligatory stares and whispers. Nate spoke little during supper, but Ty seemed content to chatter on about the happenings at the school until they were done. As they rose to leave, Ty frowned at him.
Master Richland's a bit batty. But I've never seen her do anything like that before. Do you really think you're, I don't know, violating the laws of physics?
He looked doubtful. Nate thought for a moment, then said, Balance is all. Power spent is entropy received. He paused again, then asked, Normally the entropy's just dissipated into your body, right? Ty nodded, then said slowly,
But you're just dumping the entropy into an object instead. I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it? That's gotta be the most amazing thing that's happened here. Maybe ever. It means nobody has to burn out early or die of entropic shock if they draw too much power. Why wouldn't they be happy about it?
Nate snorted. She's believed this is how the world works her whole life. Idolizing the tenets gives her the only security she knows, and it shapes the way she sees the world. He shook his head. When you do something that throws doubt on people's deepest beliefs, they don't usually react well. Ty shook his own head as he led Nate back to the hallway with their rooms.
Even so, doesn't seem right.
When they reached Nate's room, they were met by the proctor. She was somewhere between impatient and annoyed. But Nate thought he caught something else in her stance when he and Ty walked around the corner.
Her lips firmed, however, and she stepped toward them, clearing her throat.
Nate,
she said,
the Board of Governors has determined that you are not to use or even grasp Energemetra 6 during your time at the Telestry, in class, or anywhere else. If you are found to disobey this directive, you will be removed from the Aqualucum immediately. Do you understand?
Nate's mouth quirked into a humorless smile. Oh, I understand. Can you tell me, Proctor, what have I done wrong? The Proctor snorted a laugh.
Boy, you got all their knickers in a twist like I've never seen. Wrong? Ha!
She shook her head almost ruefully.
Not my rules for once. I'm just the messenger.
She walked away, shaking her head as she went.
The Energemetra 6 podcast is made possible by North Arrow Coffee. North Arrow Coffee is the pro-life coffee company where 15% of every purchase goes to support organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, whose purpose is to support women in the most difficult situation of their lives. If you're interested, head over to northarrowcoffee.co and use promo code E6 to get 10% off with your order.
The advertisements featured did not necessarily represent my endorsements or views.
And thanks, everybody. And that was Chapter 6. And I appreciate everybody being here for it. Real quick before we go, I have a quick teaser for our audience. I just had my new book show up today. I don't think anybody has actually seen this. I haven't actually done a cover reveal or anything. And I will try to do that sort of in the next couple of weeks. But this is Winter Night. And this is actually a book that I wrote about 15 years ago and never got printed or published, and so I'm sort of just bringing it back to the surface here and printing it for the first time, and so that's sort of exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. Technically it launches on Black Friday, but I will have pre-sales open hopefully this coming Sunday. So that's what's up. Thank you, Mary, for being here. Thank you, Third. Thank you, Mel. And thank you, Chad. I sure appreciate everybody doing this very much. All right. All right. And with that, I guess we'll catch everybody next week.